again, everyone.
Good morning.
It's New Year's, have you noticed? So, we had a really lovely ceremony on New Year's Eve with Sangha members and guests, a number of guests, filling the place. We sat Zazen. We had a fire ceremony out in the parking lot, really fancy fire ceremony. And before that, we wrote out our intentions and also what we might want to let go of, and we put them in the fire. Smoke carried them up into all being. We also included in that the names of that we write up on our board here for those, for the, our well-being ceremony on Fridays, and those that we want to remember who have passed. We rang the bell 108 times. And by the way, everyone, even people who were really new to hitting the bell, did a great job. We closed with circumambulation and chanting the Heart Sutra, which is a central text for our school. And we gave out ofuda, which are basically blessing tablets. And after the Dharma talk this morning, those of you that weren't here and didn't get one, we'll give you one if you want it. We won't press it on you, but the other thing we did was we read aloud poems that we had written expressing our understanding of our lives and our practice. There's a tradition in Japanese culture of writing what's called a death poem, a kind of greeting or an expression of one's life that's included in one's will, or would be read at a funeral. So some of us write one every year at New Year's to be prepared in case death snatches us, so to speak, befalls us, encounters us, and also as a practice of facing impermanence and death, regardless of how long we think we're going to live. So this is not just a practice for so-called old people. All the poems were beautiful. Really, all of them. Some were funny, brisk, touching. It's a whole manner of things. Some were two lines. Some were, I don't know what, 10 or 15 lines. And we sat and listened to each other's words. We received each other's words. We encountered one another in that way. And so it was a sense of holding the space, silence, receptivity, deep listening, and then, you know, not saying something, but there was this energy of hearing one another and laughing together sometimes. Really laughing sometimes. In Japan, over time, there grew an opposition to this practice as it became rather precious. And we don't want to do that. So this practice is not about crafting something so subtle and ethereal and I don't know what, you know? It's not about proving something to somebody. Nor is it about proving something to yourself. It's something that moves us into our direct experience. And it's about entering into a relationship with words that returns us to a posture of presence, a deep listening, and risking speaking something. It's a risk to speak something, isn't it? So when we take up a practice such as this, particularly if you don't think you're good at it, we give ourselves over to an investigation and an expression. We become familiar with our own wisdom and the power of words to express it. So, the new year is a good time to stop and reflect on our lives and how we're living them, to take in the reality of our lives, that our lives are fleeting, and to consider what is most important to us. Our practice of zazen, of sitting in silence, of being present, is central in our lives, in our practice lives, as is intention, dedication, clear and kind relationships, and risking expressing our understanding in words and posture, in our bodies. So, in a sense, we move back and forth. Stillness and action, listening and responding, silence and speech. But in another sense, these are not different. Silence and speech are not different. It's all included. Dogen told us in Fukan Zazengi to take the backward step and turn the light inward. Ekko Hencho. Dropping body and mind. He said, cease practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words and following after speech, and learn the backward step that turns the light inward to illuminate the self. Body and mind of themselves will drop away and your original face will be manifest. So notice he's saying pursuing after words, following after speech, right? Doesn't mean that we don't express ourselves. Dogen is not asking us to stop studying the Dharma. He's not asking us to turn a flashlight into our innards. He's not asking us to literally drop our physical bodies. These are phrases that together point us toward the fact that our true nature is realized when we cease struggle and rest in reality. Actually, our true nature includes struggle, right? So it's hard to talk about these things sometimes because we can then privilege silence, or we can privilege rest. We can, then that can be used as a judgment. Oh, I'm struggling, so I must be off kilter or something. Maybe we are off kilter, but off kilter is also included. All of that is a part of reality. However, it seems that for us humans, maybe not for rocks or dogs or butterflies or whatever, experiencing who we are is facilitated by stillness. So this stillness, this silence, this presencing is central. We can think of it as rest. We can think of it as ceasing the habit of seeing our lives as a production of accomplishments, meaning even, of all the things that our mind tells us we need, this headlong rush to the next moment, the next moment, the next moment, next year I'll be this year. When we stop and listen, we can say we might genuinely hear the voice of Buddha. We might hear Buddha. And then we respond with our own voices. We respond. Which, of course, is also the voice of Buddha, right? It's all included. I think this is what we heard on New Year's Eve. We heard this listening and this expression and this responding. I've been thinking about speaking and what happens when we speak something that means something to us. So I've been drawn again to reciting something that's called the Ehe Kosu Hotsukoman. And I've been really drawn to this again, so my plan is to do a series of talks on it and the fascicle it comes from and the vow itself. But for now, I just want to say the very first part of the first line. He says, I vow with all beings from this life on throughout countless lives to hear the true Dharma. I vow with all beings from this life on throughout countless lives to hear the true Dharma. That's the first step. My Jodo Shinpren said, we listen so that we might hear. We practice listening so that we might hear. The Dharma is both the truth of the way things are and reality itself, and the way we express it. So we become still, and we listen with our whole body, our heart, our mind, so that we might hear, and then we respond. This is not just it's not just this direction, right? It's this direction. We are liberated to this world, not from it. So we listen, we attend to silence, and that silence we know is also includes speech. Stillness also includes action. In this way, we experience our lives in a way that extends beyond categories. We often put ourselves into a cage of categories, don't we? I'm this, I'm that, I'm judgments. But that just misunderstands who we are, and it feeds the habit of perpetuating the cage of categories. So when we're silent, we can come to know a reality that includes and extends beyond categories. This is really important, because we don't dismiss the particularity of who we are. We don't say, oh, it's all the same. So how you want to express yourself in the world doesn't matter. This is not the teaching. How we express ourselves in the world matters. It's our creative expression. We express ourselves in endless ways. In as many moments there are, there's as many ways to express, including words and images, when we allow them, when we allow ourselves to move freely. Tuesday night, I think we heard this. It was Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Words of care, wry humor, courage, simplicity. We could hear each person speak their lives, and we listened. Just sat there and listened. We listened to what was most true, and we expressed what we found by our listening. When we allow ourselves to speak and listen in this way, we enter into the inconceivable. Doesn't that sound fancy? Tuesday night was not fancy, was it? It was just us here, simple, in this room, out in the parking lot, fire in an old clay bowl. Just us. But it's entering into the inconceivable. This isn't about everything matching up perfectly. It's a space between. It's a space that includes us. It's a creative act. So our ordinary day-to-day lives is a creative act. It's a path of honing our being so that in each moment we are an instrument of wisdom and beauty. That's our vow, right? This isn't bound by the categories that we come up with. It includes them. The great Buddhist master Shinran said, I've quoted him before, "My eyes being hindered by blind passions, I cannot perceive the light that grasps me. Yet the great compassion, without tiring, illumines me always." You want to hear that again?
Yeah.
"My eyes being hindered by blind passions, I cannot perceive the light that grasps me. Yet the great compassion, without tiring, illumines me always." When we do this practice of deep listening, when we express ourselves as Shinran is doing here, maybe we're completely caught in blind passions. Even that is included. How we relate, how we are, is this creative encounter. Shinran's and Dogen's words point us in a direction, right? They recall us to a way of living that's not bound by words and categories and does not deny them. They tell us something about our lives, about what it is to be human, and they're meant to be encouraging. Turn the light inward. See the light. Know that it's there whether you see it or not. Darkness is there whether you see it or not. We are all of it. We don't have to be Dogen or Shinran to express ourselves, to practice in this way. But we do have to form an intention and take the time. So this time of year is a good time to turn inward, to reflect, to allow words to come that encourage. It's always a good time of year. Spring is a good time of year, but this is New Year's. To listen deeply, to light a candle, to know that even when you can't see it, great compassion, without tiring, illumines us. To investigate how we can creatively express the wisdom that is us. So I'd like to read you some death poems and two poems by Kosho Uchiyama Roshi, a really wonderful 20th century Zen teacher. He was the Zen teacher of Shohaku Okumura. So listen as St. Benedict says, listen with the ears of the heart. Time to go. They say the journey is a long one. Change of robes.
Change of
robes.
Robes.
I borrowed moonlight for this journey of a million miles. Till now, I thought that death befell the untalented alone. If those with talent too must die, surely they make better manure. Why should I hesitate? I have a travel permit from Amida Buddha. These are by Ujjama Roshi, and they were written at the end of his life. Maybe I'll read you three. Okay? My prayer. A higher, even more comfortable life, everyone seeking only to inhale, exposing themselves to the crisis of suffocation, this 20th century age of the masses, I pray for. I pray for the day when the ultimate wisdom may work in human beings, and that we may become aware that inhalation and exhalation are one breath. Life and death together from one life. That a completely new prototype of human being, vividly living out the true life force as it is, inclusive of life and death, glowing from the depth of life, may be held up brightly for the people of the 21st century. We can see that even when he, she, they, I'm adding, was seeing closely at their own life and death, they were always together with all beings. So I'll read you the original last two lines, and then we can fill in pronouns as we please, okay? We can see that when he was seeing closely at his own life and death, interesting, huh? He was always together with all beings. Want to hear it again?
Yeah.
Okay. I higher in a more comfortable life, everyone seeking only to inhale, exposing themselves to the crisis of suffocation, this 20th century age of the masses, I pray for. I pray for the day when the ultimate wisdom may work in human beings, and that we may become aware that inhalation and exhalation are one breath. Life and death together from one life. That a completely new prototype of human being, vividly living out the true life force as it is, inclusive of life and death, glowing from the depth of life, may be held up brightly for the people of the 21st century. We can see that even when they are seeing closely at their own life and death, they are always together with all beings. Samadhi of the Treasury of the Radiant Light. Though poor, never poor. Though sick, never sick. Though aging, never aging. Though dying, never dying. Reality prior to division. Herein lies unlimited depth. He is calling us here, right? He is calling us to remember, though poor, never poor, though sick, never sick. And this is not about not feeling or suffering, right? Reality prior to division. He's calling us to bring forth in this moment the human being who's vividly living out true life force. And finally, life and death. Water isn't formed by being ladled into a bucket. Simply the water of the whole universe has been ladled into a bucket. The water does not disappear because it has been scattered over the ground. It is only that the water of the whole universe has been emptied into the whole universe. Life is not born because a person is born. The life of the whole universe has been ladled into the hardened idea called I. Life does not disappear because a person dies. Simply, the life of the whole universe has been poured out of this hardened idea of I and back into the universe. Do you want to hear that again?
Yes.
Yes? No. Well, I'm going to read it anyway. Water isn't formed by being ladled into a bucket. Simply, the water of the whole universe has been ladled into a bucket. The water does not disappear because it has been scattered over the ground. It is only that the water of the whole universe has been emptied into the whole universe. Life is not born because a person is born. The life of the whole universe has been ladled into the hardened idea called I. Life does not disappear because a person dies. Simply, the life of the whole universe has been poured out of this hardened idea of I back into the universe. This is not something that just happens when we drop dead, right? This is our moment-by-moment experience. These are words, right? They're words, and we can say, oh, words and letters, but these are words that can recall us to something. This is the beauty of expression. This is something that tells us about how to live. How to live. The life of the whole universe ladled into a hardened idea of I. The life of the whole universe poured out of the hardened idea of I. Back into the universe. So, if you have not, I would encourage you to take some time, reflect, write a poem. It doesn't have to be something. It doesn't have to be Uchiyama Roshi. I write one every year. And then go back and look at what I wrote last year and say, is that what I still, how I would still express my life? And it changes. Or you can pick the first day of spring. Or autumn. Or summer solstice. Or whatever. Don't wait until you think you're near death. Because we don't know. We don't know. And it's also important that each phase of our life, young, middle, old, has its own wisdom. So, please do it. Okay? Thank you.